But we've been taking a long time to be able to stop and look over and try to digest what Jesus is trying to teach us through what we know as commonly as the Lord's Prayer. And so we've been kind of going phrase by phrase, line by line, to just try to understand what is Jesus actually teaching us how we are supposed to be praying. Not just reciting this empty phrases, but what is going on underneath the surface in our hearts that Jesus is inviting us into. And so last week, what we did was we were in one of the last phrases, which is, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so we focused on the fact that Jesus is inviting us to pray that God would give us the ability to be able to endure temptation. We talked about this idea that, you know, within Christianity, we kind of buy into this like Photoshop Christianity where all of our flaws are just supposedly gone right when we trust in Jesus. And are they under the blood of Jesus? Are we forgiven? Yes. Praise be to God that we're forgiven. But all of my junk, all of my struggles, all of my upbringing, everything that still affects me as a man and you as a man or a woman, they're still with you. Yep. But we, as Christians, we buy into this fact that we're supposed to have it all together, right? Yep. And we don't even come to this like realness that, hey, I still struggle.
Yep.
If you yeah, you yeah. too. Yeah. Thank you.
I thought you were saying,
hey,
I'm with you.
Tim's with you. I still struggle. I still have these temptations, but that's not cool to talk about.
Yeah.
It's not okay for one of your pastors to be able to say, I still am in a hellacious battle with sin and temptation. But that is the reality. And so Jesus is inviting us to be able to say, hey, look, stop ignoring the fact that you're tempted and start to rely on me.
Yeah.
Start to rely on me. And we understood that this fact where Jesus is inviting us to pray to deliver us from evil, we can pray with this authority that Christ has already won. That our ultimate battle, the ultimate reality for us that put our faith and hope in Jesus Christ, that war that we're in every single day, it's already done. And we need to just tap into what Christ is doing in us so we can live in that reality of his kingdom here on earth now. And so we kind of boiled down what Jesus is inviting us to pray in this Lord's Prayer into two words, right? Dependence and desperation.
Yep.
And so that's what Jesus is inviting us to learn, to come to this point with the Lord where we are desperate for him. Where God, if you don't show up, I have nothing. And this desperation and dependence, like, God, if you don't empower me to do this, I'm going to mess this up. And so, and you look through, you can look in front of you the different areas that he's inviting us to pray these ways, but he's trying to get us to be able to pray with desperation and dependence. But I just want to ask you, as we begin to continue on, what is your prayer life characterized by? What is my prayer life characterized? Is my prayer life characterized with desperation and with dependence upon God? Or would it be more, at least in my case, I won't throw you under the bus.
Go ahead.
But would it be a little bit more of like convenience?
Oh, no, never.
Or complaints. Right? Rather than me being desperate for the Lord to show up in every area of my life and me acknowledging that I am in desperate need for him, I just go to him whenever I need something. And I just complain when things aren't going my way. And so this idea of we are learning to be a people whose prayer life is characterized by desperation and dependence. And so we want to have you keep those two words in your mind as we continue to walk through this morning. So we're going to have B come up.
I don't know, man. That was good. I'm hungry. You're making me hungry, man.
That's, yeah, me too. I'm hungry?
Hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry too.
Okay. Let me see.
Hey, does anybody have food?
Come on, man. It's cool.
Our delivery guy's here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. High five B. There we go.
Thanks for coming through.
All right, that's cool.
Thank
good.
You.
Here, can you hold this?
I can unlock it.
No, you hold it. I'll get it.
That's okay.
Okay,
let
good.
Me, let me serve you.
Oh, we got fries.
Lay them out there.
All right.
There we go. Anybody else hungry? Stay there.
Look at that haze.
Oh, man. Is that cut in half? Because we're supposed to share, right?
I mean, you got a knife.
No, I don't have a knife.
I got a knife, too.
Oh, yeah. Special delivery.
There we go.
That's what I'm talking about. Hold on just a second, guys. Mmm.
Right. Oh, man. You got tomatoes.
Excuse me. For all the dads out here, he didn't like his tomato. Mmm.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mmm, that's good.
That's good.
Mmm. Y'all showed up for this? No. That is pretty good. I like that. Chris and I want you to notice that most of us have an expectation of being able to eat each and every day. Do we not? So hopefully this goofy visual will be embedded in your mind. We're on my goatee. Flava Sava. Sorry. Our physical bodies crave nourishment and provision. Jesus is teaching us that we need to look to the Father for our daily provision of food. Let's not leave God out of the equation. Let's incorporate him into this. Our relationship with God through Jesus should be so very real that we are talking to him about our most basic physical needs. I want us to notice the connectivity in this prayer between our physical needs, our soul needs, and our mind and spirit needs. And what Pastor Chris and I are going to try to present to you this morning is more of a big picture overview to get you to consider the importance of these things. Daily conversation with God about our food, but also about forgiveness and temptation. So let's put these three together on a daily focus. Most of us do not even realize or understand that forgiveness and temptation are just as big of a deal to the immaterial portion of us as food is to the material portion of us. Yeah. Did you get that? Most of us do not even realize or understand that forgiveness and temptation are just as big a deal to our immaterial, that inner portion of us, as food is to our material portion.
Here, I'll...
No, I can't teach and eat because Lori would, I mean, I have to
She's
chew first.
Here. She's not here. We're good, man.
Okay.
While he's chewing, well, what we want, what we really want all of us to really understand is that the same way that we literally can't continue on in life without food and our bodies cry out that we need food. What Jesus is teaching, what we believe Jesus is teaching through this prayer is that your soul, my soul, we need forgiveness and we need that protection from temptation in the same way for our soul that our body hungers for food.
Absolutely.
But if we go on our lives and we just pretend like temptation isn't a thing and we go on not forgiving people that have wronged us, then our souls are starved in the way that our body is starved.
Absolutely. And while he was talking, I was going to reach for a fry and he got that temptation part. And I'm like, okay, maybe I won't. No, that's good. Get behind me, Satan. Just joking. This new heavenly citizenship that Yeshua has made available to us by grace through faith as a result of his birth, his life, his death, resurrection, and ascension is now a daily focus as we pray to our Father in heaven. This new citizenship needs to be part of our daily communication with God. We're asking him to reveal to us how to live out this heavenly spiritual kingdom right here and right now as an earthly, think about this, what is the church supposed to be? An earthly reflection of how it works in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of church I grew up in. But that's what we're called to. addressing food forgiveness and temptation. God the Father understands what we need and what is important for us to flourish. Just as Pastor Chris said, he was so spot on. He knows it. He knows, but it's hard for most of us to consider addressing these two components every single day. I would venture to say that most of us, starting with me and including me, we don't pray every day the way that Jesus told us to pray about what does temptation and what does forgiveness addressing those things look like in our lives. Sin is an insidious enemy to each and every one of us. Our sinful state is very natural for each one of us as we are born and then we grow into our sin nature. We address certain things in our lives. We'll own up to certain things in our lives, but all of us have a tendency to rationalize, justify, and make excuses for certain other sins in our lives. We all have hidden internal struggles that we prefer to hold on to. We all have that in common here this morning. It's not like there's a group of people that are holding on. Every single one of us have pet things that we want to hold on to. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else to do wrong. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and literally drag us away. Like being bound, taken, drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, we're all physically breathing and we're alive, but there's a lot of us in here this morning that are dead inside. James 1, 13 through 15, that's in the NLT. Let me ask it this way. What sin or sins do we love more than we love God? What desires of each and every one of us are superior to God's desires for us? See, here's the thing. Temptation goes to the very core of who you are within yourself as well as who you are before God. In the same way, it's the same way with forgiveness. Forgiveness goes to the very core of who we are within ourselves as well as who we are before God. Let's be reminded that our Lord Jesus lived out what he taught. Recorded in Matthew 26, we see inward depth of these struggles in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet he didn't make a sinful choice. He's our example. He's somebody that we can learn from and gain hope from and believe in. And in chapter 26, you can read verse 36 through 46. I just want to read 36 through 39 for you real quick. Jesus in the garden. You know what's coming. You know where he's been if you know anything about his life. He said, then Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, so it'd be like me coming to my closest friends and just saying, hey man, can you come pray with me? Sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he began, listen what is recorded of our Savior. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, Chris, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Will you stay and watch with me? That's what he asked. He went a little further and fell on his face. Our Savior fell on his face saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, if there's a chance, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, not what I will, but as you will. And the scripture records in this passage in Matthew that he did this three different times. Three different times he came, he went back and he said, God, I want your will. I want you. I want your desires. I want your plan. I'm struggling. A near-death experience in his inner being, in the immaterial part of him, in his spirit. And he said, but God, he's battling, but I want what you want. We all have daily, regular challenges, but there are also times in our lives when we will face heavy, sorrowful, life-altering challenges. Please hear me when I say this. Daily training through prayer prepares us for life-altering situations. Temptation and forgiveness are both heart, mind, and soul issues. Temptation is a very misunderstood subject. I believe that forgiveness is an even more misunderstood subject. Much of what I hear in reference to forgiveness is confusing, annoying, not practical, and it's just flat out unrealistic. And when we study forgiveness, I'm not going to stand up here and give you a bunch of blah, 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 and talk about unrealistic, crazy, off-the-wall things about forgiveness. We'll address some of those in the coming weeks. Personal honesty about forgiveness and temptation creates an absolute need for God's influence and help in our lives. I've been remembering and meditating what Pastor Chris talked about. I wrote it down in my notes when I was taking notes last week, and I was so fired up. The only thing is I couldn't keep up because my note-taking was way slower than the slides, okay? But I got a copy. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Thanks for hooking me up. Appreciate that. Desperation and dependence. So as he started with those two words in mind, I want you just to consider two religious approaches this morning. The first religious approach is pure religion. The Bible teaches that pure religion is based on a faith relationship with God through Jesus. Pure religion should create a desperate dependence on God. The other one is human religion. Human religion is based on good works that are trying to attain favor from God. Now, what I find is it's real easy to poke at or criticize certain religious groups, but I can just say from Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, across the board, Catholic, that if we are not careful, it is our human nature to make religion human and make it about what we earn and what we can attain. And what that means is human religion creates a desperate dependence on oneself. So is your church experience, did you walk in here this morning and it's nothing more than a glorified self-help meeting? Or did we come in here this morning because we desperately need to hear from God and we are desperately dependent on his intervention for us? Personal honesty about forgiveness and temptation creates an absolute need for God's influence or help in our lives. Let me read you this. Radical help through radical intervention that creates radical change. And this is not a light switch. This is not a switch. Some of you were raised in a denomination where they made it feel like 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things become new. Old things are passed away. Like, and you're like, ah. And 3 weeks later, you're struggling. You're like, well, must have missed me. I didn't get my wires right. Switch ain't wired right. You get what I'm saying, some of you? Some of you that don't get what I'm saying, you need to fall on your face and say, hallelujah. You've been spared of that. Radical help through radical intervention that creates radical change. Christ taught us to pray in a way that he lived and the way he died.
And as Pastor Tim and I were talking this week, I don't know, I don't remember who it was, that's why I didn't write it down, shared with you that thought. You know that one time that that one person said that one thing that, you know, that one idea?
Yeah, I can't remember right now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, about Christ being tempted.
Oh, it was Tom.
Okay,
yeah,
Tom.
We were talking. Yeah, Tom.
Tom, there he is. So Tom, he shared this with Tim,
yeah,
and then Tim shared this with
away.
Me.
Yeah. Never even considered it in my life.
Yeah, I've not considered it either. And so that's what I want us to be able to consider a little bit this morning is that, you know, this whole idea of temptation, and we'll get to forgiveness in the next couple weeks. But hey, just keep eating, you're good, man. Now I'm being tempted to eat. Yeah. But one of the reasons that we struggle with this temptation idea is because we don't want it to be true of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You know, it's like, hey, I know all that Christ has done for me, and I know the life that I should be living, but I'm not there yet. And we almost can get trapped there where we don't We don't do anything. Our Christian existence is that I'm not good enough. I'm not meeting my Savior's expectations of me. And we get trapped. Because we're like, man, I shouldn't be tempted this way. But the thought that Tom shared with Tim, which then shared with me, what was this idea that all throughout Christ's ministry, Jesus, our Lord, was tempted. From the very beginning, when he went into the wilderness, at the very beginning of his ministry, he was tempted, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't give in. He was able to withstand temptation, right? But then what I want us to do is I want us to read Matthew 27, and this is when Jesus was on the cross. So at the beginning of his ministry, he's out there praying, wanting to hear from the Lord, and he's being tempted there. And then at the very end of his earthly ministry, he's on the cross, and we see moments before he dies, there's temptation that he is being faced with. So Matthew 27, verses 39 through 44. Starting in verse 39, sorry. And those who passed by him, they derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders, they mocked him, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." And he trusts in God. "Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." So it would be interesting for you to go and look at Matthew chapter 5 and then Matthew chapter 4 and then compare it with here, these different temptations. They're coming through a different, you know, lip, right? They're coming through a different vessel, but the temptations are the same. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, they're trying to tempt Jesus to get his eyes off of what God has called him to do. They're trying to get Jesus to doubt who he really is. They're trying to get Satan or get Satan to be able to get Jesus to get off the cross and just not accomplish what he was sent here to do. And so we say all that to be able to encourage you that if our Messiah was faced with temptation every step of the way, are we not in good company? So we need to loosen these religious chains of perfectionism, and we need to understand that, hey, okay, man, I'm tempted, Tim. And so
I struggle with temptation.
Yeah.
If that disqualifies me from spiritual leadership, so what? That's you struggle, we struggle, we're all in the same boat. Temptation is real. It's a human struggle.
We can't find victory from it until we acknowledge it.
Yep.
We can't get the power that Jesus offers us until we actually stare it in the face and say, "Man, this is here." And so that's what Jesus is inviting us into. He's inviting us to be able to pray desperately, to be able to say, "God, man, I need you or else I'm going to give in.
Yep.
God, I need you because the evil one is tempting me to take my eyes off of you." Mm-hmm. The enemy, this world, is trying to get me to deny who I am before you and in your sight. Mm-hmm. It's trying to get me to be able to just do whatever I want to do and not what's best for me. So, man, like this week, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just ignore the fact that we're tempted? Man, no, Jesus is inviting us to be able to acknowledge it and stop running from it and begin to pray. God, I'm in desperate need for you to be able to help me, and I am dependent upon you to be able to overcome this. But we've been talking about forgiveness, too, and I think it's interesting. What else did Jesus do while he was on the cross? The worst moment in his life, when he was upon the cross and he was being killed for something that he never even did, what does he pray to the Father to do? "Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. Don't hold this sin against them, God. I'm forgiving them." So our Messiah is modeling for us what we're supposed to do when we face temptation and what we're supposed to do when we face being wronged. And again, we're going to talk about this, so it's not just this forgive and forget, all right? So get that out of your mind. We're going to walk through that over the next couple weeks. But for Jesus' own soul health, Rather than being bitter on the cross, what is he doing? He's modeling for us forgiveness. And so as we wrap up, I want to read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And I just want us to be able to just do whatever it is that the Lord puts on our heart and our mind. Because Christ is the one that has qualified, that is qualified to help us in this battle. It's Christ himself that helps us be able to navigate this world. And so as we face temptation, as we face this bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts, we can run to the Lord. So Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, I'm going to read in the NLT here. It says, this high priest, Jesus, of our This high priest of ours, he understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So what are we supposed to do? So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it. Okay. So our Messiah, he's faced all of the things that we've faced. And yet he was the only one to be able to endure and overcome. And so we don't have this perfect Photoshopped, you know, leader that is just, you know, standing here pretending that he's good and saying, hey, just, you know, just make your way through it. No, he walked the walk. He modeled for us that he is worthy to be able to be one that we follow. And so because he understands, he's inviting you and me to come to him. Stop running from the temptations that we're facing. Stop running from that bitterness. Stop running from, you know, your past. Stop running from, you know, the sin that you just continue to just give into. Stop running from whatever it is that you're running from. The invitation is to come to the throne. And when we come and we bow before him, desperate and dependent upon him, what's the promise? What do we get to claim? That we will receive his mercy and find grace to be able to continue on. So we don't have this perfectly scripted thing about how, you know, this needs to end. What we're going to do as we conclude, we're going to continue to sing, but what we're going to just ask you to do is maybe for the very first time in your life to be able to be real with yourself and with the Lord and just come to him. Whatever needs to happen, If you need to come forward and have somebody pray for you, man, we'll be here and be available. If you just need to sit and you just need to talk to the Lord, whatever. Man, this is the invitation for you to be able to be real and to be honest with the Lord and understand he's not going to cast you out. This is an invitation for you to come to the throne for forgiveness, for grace, and for mercy.
Let's pray. And with our heads bowed, I want to ask you, where do you stand with what we presented this morning? And as Jesus has instructed us, are we willing to come to him, come to the Father about temptation and forgiveness daily? Are we willing to be cleansed daily? Father, I am so grateful. We are so grateful for your words and your truth being recorded, for conversations so many years ago that have been passed down family to family, and these truths that are still as real today. God, we need your help. And Father, we just want you to do whatever you are doing in all of our hearts. God, I thank you for the victory that we can have through your Son in the presence of your Holy Spirit over temptation and over unforgiveness. God, I thank you for the freedom that is available through that faith relationship and what Jesus has done on the cross and in his resurrection. And I thank you that he intercedes. Just as we were reminded, Father, thank you for these verses. And so, God, we're asking you to build your church, to add to your church today, Father, and you accomplish what you want, however you want to do it. Here, we're yielded to you, and we're begging and we're asking for radical help, radical intervention. God, we need to see radical change in our lives for your glory and that we'd be able to pass it on, Father. I ask that you would do great and mighty things. So here we are, just proclaiming that we need you desperately. We depend on you. So God, do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.